begin with this evening, I want you to turn to our text that is associated with our section that we're going to be looking at, Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Let's go ahead and read Matthew 13. Matthew 13, I want to just go down to verse 18, where the parable is explained by Christ. Matthew 13 and verse 18 says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. You guys, when you come to this book, has everybody read this book before? Have you ever watched the movie? Some people have not read Pilgrim's Progress before. It's a illustrative book. I'm one of those kind of people that really enjoy illustrations. I like things to be kind of drawn out in word pictures. I think I understand pictures and diagrams better than I do words when I read them. And I think what Bunyan does is he kind of draws out so many characteristics. The way he does it, you guys, is because he's real familiar with Scripture. Familiarity with Scripture allows you to see things and illustrate things. And I think as Bunyan understood the Word of God as he did, he was able to draw these things out. And they're rich with some examples and also some portrayals of what this might look like in human beings. I want to say this, that if you have watched the movie, some of the old ones, I think it was Brother Tim talking about it, some of the old movies that you watch it and the characters in the cartoon versions are very awkward. You know, the artist tries to draw out some of that, like Pliable. I don't know if y'all have ever seen the superhero Mr. Plastic Man, but he just wobbled everywhere, and that's what Pliable looked like in the cartoon versions. But the idea is that how do you portray that in a person's character? And I think that Bunyan really did hold to that very well when he wanted to illustrate that Pliable going along. All these different individuals, pay attention as you read this. Now I will say this. Jake did give me 20 pages, and I kind of whined about it. But if you understand it, it's a lot of rehearsing of the story multiple times in conversations with different people. And some things are given a little more in them. Some things it's just kind of going through detail as it happened. For example, like Pliable. He talks about Pliable a couple of times. But in this book, you can see that the characteristics that are magnified by these individuals are things that you would actually see in individuals that you would come across in your own walk with Christ. And I think we've all seen these kind of people around us at times. When we're walking for the cause of Christ, we're going to come across relationships with individuals that you can't help but think about some of these characters that Bunyan gives. You know, I would advise you not to call them those names, but you will find them, their characteristics that just the different individuals and the characteristics as you go through that book. Pay attention to that as we go through this. But understand, these are true sinful tendencies that exist in sinful humans. And Bunyan brings these out. So to get started, obstinate and pliable. Let's start there. So we pick up in Pilgrim's Progress, if you look in your book on page 5, he's leaving, running away from, out of the city of destruction. And here, at that first full paragraph on page 5, we read this. The neighbors also came out to see him run. And as he ran, some mocked, others threatened, some cried after him to return. And among those that did so, there were two that were resolved to fetch him back by force. The name of the one was Obstinate, and the name of the other was Pliable. Now by this time, the man was good, got a good distance from them. But however, they were resolved to pursue him, which they did. And in a little time, they overtook him. Then said the man, Neighbors, wherefore are you come? They said, To persuade you to go back with us. But he said, That cannot be, by no means be. You dwell, he said, in the city of destruction, the place also where I was born. I see it to be so, and dying there, sooner or later, you will sink lower than the grave into a place that burns with fire and brimstone. Be content, good neighbors, and go along with me. Do y'all see this picture? I mean, just off the beginning here, as he gets started, he's running from the city, and there are those who are yelling at him, don't go. Do y'all realize that that happens every day to true believers? That people are trying to discourage us from taking the next step? Now, I like the fact that Bunyan says he fled, he ran. He was running. But there were two that was pre-set to bring him back. And they went a little further than everybody else. Obstinate and pliable. So let's talk about these two guys for a little bit. First, we think about Obstinate. He does not want to leave his present comfort. And he turns back to the city of destruction, giving up quickly on convincing Pilgrim or Christian to return. Now, he makes his arguments. He does make his arguments, but I do want you to notice that in Christians communicating with them, he purposely gives them the Word of God. He purposely tells them, let me show you what's in the book. See, it wasn't that his information was coming from his own self or his own experience. He said, let me show you what's in the book. That sounds like someone who understands the Christian walk to me. I can tell you what I feel and I can tell you what I think, but really what we need to be concerned about is what the Word of God speaks of. And here, Obstinate would have nothing of it. He refuses. But see, Christian has already understood, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Christian was understanding and just wrapped his mind around the fact that God's word is important for his walk, for his journey, for his leaving the city of destruction and where he's headed. He said, that's valuable to me. And he said, you know, the same thing that I see as valuable is that which I want to share with others. An Obstinate has nothing to do with it. He turns back pretty quick after a little discussion. You know, it sounded like when they were chasing him, he really did want to turn him around. Obstinate gave up quickly. But it was after the Word of God was mentioned That's when Obstinate gave up and turned back. He said, I've got family back here. I've got comforts back here in the city of destruction. And with all the warning that Christian gave, it was not enough to keep him from going back. Now, there's Pliable. Pliable's a little different. Pliable, well, he's pliable. You can manipulate him a little bit. And that's really what it looks like, that for a while, Christian had given him enough information that Pliable said, well, I'm going to go with him and see, because this place he talks about is really wonderful. But, folks, I want you to know something that stands out. And I'm trying not to be too hard. I think Brother Jake knows what direction I'm going. There are some people like Pliable who wants to hear about the city, who wants to hear about the end. They don't want to talk about the journey. They don't want to talk about the hardships and having to live for Christ in a world of sinners. All they want to do, and that's what every question that Pliable, if you read that section, you'll see that Pliable kept asking questions about, tell me more. Tell me about where we're going. Tell me about this. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong for us to think about that and to meditate on that. At the same time, there's more to Scripture than the book of Revelation. There's instruction. It can even be painful sometimes, some of the Word of God. But you know what? I almost think if Christian began to deal with that portion of Scripture rather than talk about what the city was all about and we're going where the presence of God, where all the people that's in that city are good, that's what Pliable wanted to hear. But if he would have started reading harder parts of Scripture, he might have turned back a little quicker before they got to the Slough of Despond. This thing that was drawing him was something he needed to be fed constantly. He needed to hear more and more just to keep him going to the next day. Folks, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people today that feel that same way. They would, if you put a sign out here and said, we're going to explain the book of Revelation, I guarantee you there'd be people all over this church. They want to know about that. But a regular Bible conference where you're actually going to look at the Word of God, you're going to find out that not many people want that part. But there's a lot of people who use this stuff about end times and other things to draw a crowd. But understand, just like Pliable, you're going to have to keep playing that game to keep them coming back. I want you to notice something here. Pliable was more excited as Christian responded to his questions. He even told Christian, says, let us mend our pace. Let us make up time. Let's hurry up. I want to get to where we're going here because the way you make it sound is just so wonderful. But then, page 9, we read Pliable's resentment towards Christian. How quickly, when they fall off into this place of disappointment, at this Pliable began to be offended. And angrily said to his fellow, is this the happiness you have told me all this while of? If we have such ill speed at our first setting out, what may we expect between this and our journey's end? May I get out again with my life? You shall possess the brave country alone for me. And with that, he gave a desperate struggle or two and got out of the mire on that side of the slough, which was next to his own house. So away he went, and Christian saw him no more. How quickly he gets discouraged. Folks, when the Bible, the Word of God, is taught, you will find that it encourages and strengthens people if they are true believers. But you will find that the first hardship that comes along will cause many to quit. That's what our Lord was telling us in Matthew chapters 13. That's what's going on. Bunyan is kind of illustrating that picture of how quickly some turn, others will go along with you for a while, and then they will reject it. But it's that first little disappointment that we walk into that causes us to get discouraged. Now, I don't know. I can't get into the mind of Bunyan. But just the idea that if Christian would have been speaking some more of the harder things of Scripture, Pliable might have turned off quicker. But one thing was for sure, Pliable was not prepared for the Slough of Despond. He wasn't prepared. And you guys, I feel like that is so important for us today in the Church of God, for us to actually say that we're preparing people for hardship. You can lie about it and tell them, oh, everything's going to be great and everything's going to be wonderful, but when hardship comes, you're thinking, what have I done wrong? And there's people who have walked away because they have not been taught that in the Christian walk there are some blessings and some wonderful fruitfulness that comes of it, some growth, but that growth comes by a little bit of pruning and tilling, a little sweat, even a little fear, some struggles that come in our life. And I think that's what we see Pliable giving us a picture of, how quickly some will turn away if they're not taught. You might well have seen individuals much like Pliable or Obstinate that Christian sees in his walk is your Christian walk. Some who, because of a little difficulty, calls you or your church family a bunch of hypocrites. That's funny. I mean, that's really what Pliable was saying. He was accusing Christians of lying to him. He said, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. If you've led me this way and we get into trouble at this point, what will be the journey beyond be like? But you know what happens? Just like Pliable turned against Christian, you will see individuals turn against believers. They will turn against you because they will blame you. Notice that Pliable just took and walked back. Care less if Christian drowned in that slough. He didn't stay to help. He left. He could care less about the other person, about Christian. Spurgeon says this, it very often happens that the convert that are born in excitement dies when the excitement is over. And that's a true statement, you guys. And I know that there are some churches that feed on driving that excitement, that thrill. You know, what if life got real and you couldn't do it that way? So let us move on. The Slough of Despond and help. This is where Bunyan introduces this character named Help. And we don't have a whole lot on him, but look at page 10 real quick. Now, then said he, this is Help speaking, then said he, this is the top of page 10, I believe it is, then said he, give me thine hand. So he gave him his hand, and he drew him out, and he set him upon sound ground, and bid him go on his way. Then I stepped to him that plucked him out and said, sir, wherefore, since over this place is the way from the city of destruction to yonder gate, is it that this plat is not mended, that poor travelers might go thither with more security? And he said unto me, this miry slough is such a place as cannot be mended. It is the decent wither, the scum, and the filth that attends conviction for sin doth continually run. And therefore, it is called the Slough of Despond, for still, as the sinner is awakened about his lost condition, there arises in his soul many fears and doubts and discouraging apprehensions, which all of them get together and settle in this place, and this is the reason of the badness of this ground. Psalm 40 and verse 1 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. That slough of despond, folks, is where all these things pile up. And it's like what Help was describing, was a place where all this stuff just piles up in life, and it's something that every believer has to go through at some point. How many times have you dealt with someone who's struggling with their security? You know what that is? That's kind of that slough of despond creeping in. Now, they may very well be lost, but as with pliable, it was obvious. But with Christian, he fought through it. He fought through it. He didn't give up. He kept going to the other side. And you guys, I want to read this quote from Spurgeon. He says this, John Bunyan, that master of Christian experience, as well as Christian allegory, has, it seems to me, described that part of the work of these helps, which is most valuable and which is most required. He describes help as coming to Christian when he was floundering about in the slough of despond, just when the poor man was likely to have been choked, having missed his footing in the slough, and when he found that with all his struggling, he was only sinking deeper and deeper into the mire. There suddenly came to him a person of whom Bunyan says nothing more throughout this whole allegory, whose name was Help. Help put out his hand and saying some words of encouragement to Christian, pulled him out of the mire, set him on the king's highway, and established his going. Now folks, I do believe that John Bunyan, in writing this, did illustrate the Holy Spirit multiple times, but I do believe that that is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Taking that comfort that we need in the hardest time. You guys, we need words from brothers and sisters. We need word from the Word of God of encouragement. But that Holy Spirit's the one that makes that real. It's the one that actually does the lifting up. And I think that's what John Bunyan was doing here is illustrating how the Holy Spirit comes in and picks us up out of that time. You guys, it's wonderful to have fellowship, and it's wonderful to have the Word of God taught. But at the same time, what actualizes all of that is what the Spirit does with that. And we need that. We need that hand, that help to lift us up. The Holy Spirit working. And I do believe the Holy Spirit will show up in other forms in the book to illustrate that. But the fact that Spurgeon says that, you know, this is where John Bunyan mentions it, and we never meet this character again. He's right there hanging out by the slough of despond, ready to rescue. That's the time we need. That's the time we need. We need him all the time, but that's a definite time when we need him. So, something I thought was interesting, back at the bottom of page 9, Help says this, but why did you not look for the steps? Did that jump out at you guys? Why did you not look for the steps? Oh, there's steps that bring you through this? Christian says, fear followed me so hard that I fled the next way and fell in. What does fear do? What does fear do? It causes us not to see rightly. It causes us to forget to stay calm and trust. And here's Help bringing these words and saying, why didn't you see the steps? There's steps. Yeah, there's steps that helps you go through these times. Christian confessed that I was so fearful that I wasn't thinking that there might be something else to help me get through this. Help rescued him. But further down on page 10, help give some more information concerning them steps, the steps. He says, true, there are, by the direction of the lawgiver, certain good and substantial steps placed even through the very midst of this slough. But at such time as this place doth much spew out its filth, as it doth against change of weather, these steps are hardly seen. Yep. Or if they be men, through the dizziness of their heads, step beside, and then they are bemired to purpose. Notwithstanding, the steps be there, but the ground is good when they are once got in at the gate. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying because these times scare us, sometimes our minds are not looking where they need to be. You guys, when a brother or sister steps out of line and are struggling with something, and we come alongside that individual, but because of fear, or as help described it, that their minds are struggling, they're not seeing correctly. They're not going to behave correctly because their mind's not where it needs to be. And I think that's what Bunyan was trying to draw out here, is this idea that when hard times come upon any believer, not a new believer only, any believer, that we need other brothers and sisters to help guide. But these steps, I always thought, these steps really reveal something, that God enables us to go through things. And there are some proper times, but a proper way to go through these events, but at the same time, there is this fear that can overcome us, where doubt just overtakes us, and we're not thinking clearly. And I'm sure that John Bunyan, through many of his adversities, wasn't thinking clearly and experienced this very thing. Let's move on. The encounter of worldly wise men, city of morality, Mr. Legality, and the mountain with fire. Now, Mr. Worldly Wise Man is from the town of Carnal Policy. Now, all these things seem to come along, but I want to share a short conversation with him and Christian. World says, this is page 14. He says, how camest thou by the burden at first? And Christian said, by reading this book in my hand. World responds, I thought so. He knew it. He knew it. He knew it every time. It's that Bible. It's that Bible's messing you up. I thought so. And it has happened unto thee as to other weak men who, meddling with things too high for them, do suddenly fall into thy distractions, which distractions do not only unman men, as thine I perceive have done thee, but they run them upon desperate virtues to obtain they know not what. Christian responds, I know what I would obtain. It is ease from my heavy burden. And world says, but why wilt thou seek for ease this way? I'm running short of time, but I want you to pay attention that thing world offered said there's an alternative. The world always wants to offer you something other than doing it God's way. Christian was determined to do it God's way. And you can read on down how that's responded. He said, Christian fell for that. He says, sir, I pray, open this secret to me. Tell me what this secret is to get rid of the burden of sin that I've realized from reading the Word of God. Christian follows the instructions, headed to the city of morality to find Mr. Legality. Notice a couple of things about the mountain. You guys, this represents the law. It's spewing fire. It's massive, it's scary, and you think it's going to fall on you. That's what Christian's fear was, that it was going to fall upon him. Romans 10:3. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, They did not submit to the righteousness of God. That clarifies so much of what's going on with Christian, even at that time. Worldly wise man was telling him, said, there's an easier way, there's a better way. So then, page 16, he's confronted by evangelist. The very sight of evangelist causes Christian to be ashamed. And you know how evangelist treated him? Reminding him of the words of God. It always goes back to that. Bunyan did a wonderful job of portraying this and showing this. In page 19, you can see how he fell down at his feet as dead, crying, woe is me, for I am undone. At the sight of evangelists, caught him by the right hand, saying, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto thee. So here's the thing. Christian at a time in his walk, in his journey, forgets and he lays out there humbly before evangelist. And evangelist directs him to the Word of God, reminds him of the Word of God. Folks, that in itself is a hope for anyone walking this Christian journey. God's giving us instruction. We forget. That's what Christian kept doing. Forgetting what he was being told. How to obey, so he'd forget. He would get back on track. He'd get off track, he'd get back on track. Evangelist gave much biblical instruction to renew Christian in his course and get him back on the path. He shows that the mountain is representative of the law, and he calls Mr. Legality the son of the bondwoman from Galatians chapter 3. After hearing this, Christian response is given. Listen to this. And at top of page 21. Now Christian looked for nothing but death and began to cry out lamentably, even cursing the time in which he met with Mr. Worldly Wiseman, still calling himself a thousand fools for hearkening to his counsel. He also was greatly ashamed to think that this gentleman's arguments, flowing only from the flesh, should have prevalence with him so far as to cause him to forsake the right way. This done, he applied himself again to evangelists in words and sense as follows. And he says this. Christian says, sir, what think you? Is there any hope? May I now go back and go up to the wicked gate? Shall I not be abandoned for this and sent back from thence ashamed? I am sorry I have hearkened to this man's counsel, but may my sin be forgiven? Well, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Evangelist gave him instruction, gave him hope, got him back. Page 21 and 22. Then did Christian address himself to go back? And evangelist, after he had kissed him, gave him one smile and bid him Godspeed. So he went on with haste. Neither spake he to any man by the way, nor if any ask him, would he vouchsafe them an answer. He wouldn't stop and talk to them. He went like one that was all the while treading on forbidden ground and could by no means think himself safe till again he was got into the way which he had left to follow Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel. So, in process of time, Christian got up to the gate. Now, over the gate, there was written, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He knocked, therefore, more than once or twice, saying, may I now enter here? Will he within open to sorry me, though I have been an undeserving rebel? Then shall I not fail to sing the lasting praise on high. So, to close, goodwill at the gate. Top of page 24. after goodwill, says applicable that celestial glory is not worth the running, the hazard of a few difficulties. I love that phrase. Goodwill just points out that that Pliable said celestial glory, that's what he wanted to know about. But it wasn't enough to keep him going when he ran through, how is it a hazard of a few difficulties? Truly, said Christian, I have said the truth of Pliable, and if I should also say all the truth of myself, it will appear there is no betterment betwixt him and myself. It is true. He went back to his own house, but I also turned aside to go in the way of death, being persuaded thereto by the carnal arguments of one Mr. Worldly Wise Man. You know, I can't help but think about 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. He says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he falls. As Christian was hearing Goodwill's comments about Pliable, he was thinking, I'm no better. We're no better, you guys. It's only by the grace of God that we've made it thus far. It's not because there's some value or advantage that we have. It's because of God's grace. Finally, this last section I want to mention from page 25. There is so much theology given. But Goodwill says this, we make no objections against any, notwithstanding all that they have done before they come hither. There they in no wise are cast out. And therefore, good Christian, come a little way with me, and I will teach thee about the way thou must go. Look before thee. Dost thou see this narrow way? This is the way thou must go. It was cast up by the patriarchs, the prophets, Christ, and his apostles. And it is all as straight as a rule can make it. This is the way thou must go. Theology that supports the believer, which Bunyan understood, is what is being portrayed in those verses. Bunyan understood that theology, you guys, and he's wording it out in a way that look over the overarching things of Scripture, how that covers the aspects of the Christian walk. And he said that's where it come from, the patriarchs, from the prophets, from Christ, from the apostles. It's all the same truth. Christian says, are there no turnings nor windings by which a stranger may lose his way? Goodwill responds, yes, there are many ways, but down upon this, and they are crooked and wide, but thus thou mayest distinguish the right from the wrong, the right only being straight and narrow. This I saw in a dream, that Christian asked him further, if he could not help him off with his burden that was upon his back, for as yet he had not got rid thereof, nor could he by any means get it off without help. He responded to him, as to thy burden, be content to bear it until thou comest to the place of deliverance, for there it will fall from thy back of itself. Then Christian began to gird up his loins and to address himself to his journey. So the other told him that by that he was gone some distance from the gate, he would come to the house of the interpreter, at whose door he should knock, and he would show him excellent things. Then Christian took his leave of his friend, and he again bid him Godspeed. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you and thank you for the mercies that you bestow upon us. And Father, so much in the Christian walk that causes us to struggle and stumble. And Bunyan portrays that in Christian's life. these characters that are introduced and the failures admitted. They're real to every believer. All these struggles come out. Father, may you strengthen us to be what we need to as a church family, brothers and sisters in Christ, to uphold and encourage. And Father, that we would be like goodwill, like evangelist, like help to each other as we minister to each other's needs and be an encouragement, praying for each other, being a blessing to each other, loving each other biblically. And Father, may we honor and glorify you. May that be our goal like Christian, wanting to walk that straight path, having that desire, but knowing failures exist from time to time. Strengthen us for that road ahead, for our journeys. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.